trademarks, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Battaglia. History is made. And now, the event.
This is Jim Fetzer here on the Raw Deal, and I may or may not have my colleague Giuseppe here. Giuseppe, are you available? Meanwhile, major questions abound about the Buka massacre. It looks as though we're being played again by another stage event. This would hardly be the first time. It's happened again and again in other contexts, such as in Syria. The West has made a snap judgment about who's responsible at the Ukrainian town, with calls for more stringent sanctions on Russia. But the question of guilt is far from decided, and indeed, Russia does not appear to be responsible. Within hours of news, there had been a massacre at Bucha, a town 63 kilometers north of Kiev. The verdict was in. Russian troops had senselessly slaughtered hundreds of innocent civilians as they withdrew from the town, leaving their bodies littering the streets. Unlike their judicial systems, when it comes to war, Western nations dispense with the need for investigations and evidence and pronounce guilt based upon political motives. Russia is guilty. Case closed. Except the case hasn't even been opened yet, and the sentence is already being proposed. French President Emmanuel Macron, for instance, has called for Russian coal and oil to be banned from Europe. There are, he claims, very clear indications of war crimes. What happened in Bucha demands a new round of sanctions and very clear measures, so we'll coordinate with our European partners, especially with Germany. Other voices are now perilously calling for the U.S. to go to war with Russia over the incident. This is genocide, Ukrainian President Zelensky told Face the Nation. Mothers of Russians that see this. See what bastards you've raised, murderers, looters, butchers, he added on Telegram. Except Russia has categorically denied it had anything to do with the massacre, which appears to have been the brainchild of Zelensky himself. Where to start? If there were to be a serious probe, one of the first places to begin is to map out the timeline of events. Last Wednesday, all Russian forces left Bucha, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. This was confirmed on Thursday by a smiling Anatoly Fedoruk, the mayor of Bucha, in a video on the Bucha City Council official Facebook page. The translated post accompanying the video says, March 31st, the day of the liberation of Bucha. This was announced by Bucha Mayor Anatoly Fedoruk. This day will go down in the glorious history of Buka and the entire Buka community as a day of liberation by the armed forces of Ukraine from the Russian occupiers. All the Russian troops are gone, and yet there's no mention of a massacre. The beaming Fedoruk says it's a glorious day in the history of Buka, which would hardly be the case if hundreds of dead civilians were littering the street. Russian Defense Ministry has denied accusation by the Kiev regime of the alleged killing of civilians in Buka. Evidence of crimes in Buka only appeared the fourth day after the security services of Ukraine and representatives of Ukrainian media arrived in the town. All Russian units completely withdrew from Buka on March 30th. Not a single local resident was injured during the time Buka was under the control of the Russian troops, the Russian Ministry of Defense said in a post on Telegram. What happened next? What happened on Friday and Saturday? As pointed out in a piece by Jason Michael McCann on Standing Point Zero, the New York Times was in Buka on Saturday and did not report a massacre. Instead, the Times said the withdrawal was completed on Saturday, 2 days after the mayor reported it, and the Russians left behind dead soldiers and burned vehicles, according to witnesses, Ukraine officials, satellite images, and military analysts. The Times said reporters found the bodies of six civilians. It was unclear under what circumstances they had died, but the discarded packaging of a Russian military ration was lying beside one man who'd been shot in the head. That's easy to plant. What could be more effortless? It then quoted a Zelensky advisor. The bodies of people with tied hands who were shot dead by soldiers lie in the streets, the advisor, Mikhailo Podolyak, said on Twitter. These people were not in the military. They had no weapons. They posed no threat. He included an image of a scene photographed by agency France Presse showing three bodies on the side of a road, one with hands apparently tied behind the back. The New York Times was unable to independently verify Mr. Podolyak's claim that people had been executed, which they had to know better since they were already reporting on the Russians having left the town. It's possible on Saturday the full extent of the horror had yet to emerge, that even the mayor was unaware for 2 days before, though photos now show many bodies out in the open in the street, something that would have been difficult to miss. In Buka, the Times was close to the neo-Nazi Azov battalion whose soldiers appear in the newspaper's photograph. In his piece, McCain, the reporter, suggests Azov may be responsible for the killing. Something very interesting then happens on Saturday, 2 April, hours before a massacre is brought to the attention of the national and international media. The U.S. and EU-funded Gorshine Institute Online site Left Bank announced that special forces have begun a clearing operation in the city of Buka in the Kiev region, which has been liberated by the armed forces of Ukraine. The city is being cleared from saboteurs and accomplices of Russian forces. Those would be persons they would be likely to have shot. Anyone who is happy about Russians having forces having emancipated them. The Russian military has by now completely left the city, though this sounds for all the world like reprisals. The state authorities would be going through the city searching for saboteurs and accomplices of Russian forces. Only the day before, Friday, Ekaterina Karantsteva, representing the town council authority, appeared on an information video on the Buka Live Telegram page wearing military fatigues and seated in front of a Ukrainian flag to announce the cleansing of the city. She informed residents that the arrival of the Azov battalion did not mean liberation was complete, but it was. The Russians had fully withdrawn, and that a complete sweep had to be performed. Karantsteva was speaking a day after the mayor had said the town was liberated. By Sunday morning, the world learned of the massacre of hundreds of people. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, "We strongly condemn apparent atrocities by Kremlin forces in Buka and across Ukraine. We are pursuing accountability using every tool available documenting and sharing information to hold accountable those responsible. President Joe Biden on Monday called for a war crimes trial. This guy is brutal, and what's happening in Bucha is outrageous, and everyone's seen it. I think it's a war crime, reading from his script. The Bucha incident is a critical moment in the war. An impartial investigation is warranted, which probably only the UN could conduct. The Babzow battalion may have perpetrated revenge killings against Russian collaborators, or the Russians carried out this massacre. Once again, the Pentagon is dampening the war hysteria, saying it cannot confirm or deny Russia was responsible, meaning they know Russia was not responsible, but they don't want to admit it. A rush to judgment is dangerous and irresponsible talk of the U.S. directly fighting Russia, but it is the rush to judgment that we are getting. Meanwhile, here we have proof of a Ukrainian pogrom in Bucha. Ukrainians are reporting that over 300 bodies were found after the Russian army left Bucha opposite the town of Irpin on the western outskirts of Kiev. News of the Bucha massacre is leading the news cycle now. Zelensky is attempting to use it as a tool to bring Western militaries into the conflict and widen the war. Joe Biden is calling Putin a war criminal and the Bucha massacre, even though his own Pentagon won't confirm or deny events. All the information is coming from Zelensky, obviously an objective, disinterested party. It begs the question, why would the Russian army commit this atrocity on civilians wearing neutral white armbands after delivering large quantities of humanitarian aid? Ukraine shelled Bucha before reestablishing a presence in Bucha after the Russian army left. On March 31st, this was the Ukrainian headline. The mayor of Bucha confirmed the liberation of the city. The New York Times just headlined a satellite image claiming bodies have littered the streets of Bucha for weeks. The condition of the bodies and the photographs released by Ukraine say otherwise. The decomposition over a couple of weeks would have been pronounced. Bucha leaders had access to the internet all the time, as evidenced by a town councilwoman's post below. With over 300 murdered civilians scattered all over the streets, why didn't that make the news until now? On March 31st, shouldn't that have been the lead story the mayor of Bucha was telling? Instead, the mayor of Bucha, Kiev region, Anatoly Fedoruk, said on March 31st the city was liberated from Russian invaders. This is stated in the video message of Fedoruk. March 31st will go down in the history of our settlement and the entire territorial community as a day of liberation from Russian orcs, Russian invaders by our armed forces of Ukraine, of our settlements. Today I state, this day is joyful, a great victory of our armed forces in the Kiev region. We will definitely wait and we will do everything so there's a big victory throughout Ukraine. Reality check? The victims weren't even reported until 4 days later. The murder victims didn't show up until after the Ukrainians did. This image featuring Bucha's mayor shows the destruction of Ukrainian shelling done after the Russian army left by the Ukrainians. In the following images taken by the Ukrainian army, notice the prevalence of white armbands still on the victims' arms or used to bind their hands before they were killed. In the now infamous video and photos posted by Ukrainian commander boatswain in Bucha, a Ukrainian soldier sees someone without a blue armband and asks, "Can I shoot them?" Boatswain answers, "Shoot the bitch." And they did. Over 300 Ukrainian citizens. Yes, they did. The Russian army shared rations with some of the residents of Bucha, which made them easy to find. Evidence of this is seen in the trash with some of the bodies. It has been a mistake for influencers on social media to proclaim the white bands as pro-Russian. In a war zone, a white flag means surrender. The white band is a clearly visible statement that the wearer is not a danger to you and isn't fighting. Nothing more, nothing less. Zelensky took the gloves off over a week ago, making it legal to hunt down anyone not Ukrainian enough or Russian enough among the Ukrainian population. This is almost a majority of the population he put at risk. The same Ukrainian nationalists doing this are tying Ukrainians to street poles and beating them for not being Ukrainian enough. It was announced ahead of the pogrom Azov was going to start cleansing the town of Russians. This is the reason they killed people without the blue armband, which signifies a Ukrainian nationalist. A normal Ukraine trying to live wasn't Ukrainian enough to be safe from Zelensky. Here's part of a report with photographs of the dead. Only the day before, Ekaterina Ukrainostaiva, representing the town council authority, appeared on an information video on the Buka Live Telegram page wearing military fatigues and seated in front of a Ukrainian flag to announce the cleansing of the city. She informed residents the arrival of the Azov battalion did not mean liberation was complete, but it was. The Russians had fully withdrawn and that a complete sweep had to be performed. Don't let yourself be taken in. We got lots of photographs of these individuals with a heart band rather than the blue. That made them targets. Here's Ian Miles Chong tweeting. Why do people keep saying Azov aren't in Bucha? Here's the New York Times. Ukrainian soldiers from the Azov battalion in Bucha, a town northwest of Kiev, where footage showed scattered bodies and widespread destruction of the streets. Zelensky took ownership of the genocidal massacre on Fox with Bret Baier by taking responsibility for the Azov battalion. They are one of Zelensky's formation and therefore were under his orders in Bucha. Joe Biden's Jewish president in Ukraine is responsible for this genocidal mess. And what's clear is America's image internationally is tarnished beyond recognition by supporting Bucha and Biden's Ukraine. Why not go to the police? The man beating them is Maxim Yarosh, Zarov commander and a U.S. State Department favorite. Azov and right sector are the police. For the last year, this is how they treated minority women in Kiev. The women are being built up with a dildo on a major thoroughfare. Imagine complaining to the police who in reality work for the guy beating or torturing you. That's the reality in Ukraine today. Ukraine is a victim of state capture. Its lobbies in the U.S. and internationally did a truly spectacular job of it. Ukrainians haven't had rights since 2014. This massacre shows the result. Conservatives have to take the lead and look analytically at all the information Ukraine has already provided. The story is this clear, despite Zelensky's claim to the contrary. If not, the real suffering in Ukraine goes unchallenged. The same people committing these acts are getting U.S. green cards under Biden. This is coming home to roost for the next election cycle. If only we could take for granted that, in fact, that's what's going to happen. If only the American media is so corrupt, they're leaving nothing to chance. They're suppressing all the information, even when it's massively available, just as I've been reporting here. Meanwhile, back here in the USA, Hillary takes aim at Biden administration's handling of the Ukraine invasion. Could this be a precursor to Hillary primarying the president in a couple of years' time, as though he would still be alive, as though he would have already been hospitalized, as though he were already in an extended care facility? With the 2022 midterm arriving in short order, the Democrat Party is a bit on edge. Joe Biden's job performance as president has been abysmal, with his approval rating remaining underwater throughout a vast majority of his time in office. If a giant red wave comes crashing through these upcoming elections, there will be very serious doubts about whether or not Biden will be able to successfully be reelected. Hell, there are serious doubts that he'll even be alive. Perhaps this is why Hillary has now seemingly undertaken a very public shot at the Biden administration's handling of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In an interview with NBC's Meet the Press, Hillary said, "The U.S. is looking at this with our eyes wide open and sees the threat that Russian President Vladimir Putin poses, not just to Ukraine, but to Europe, to democracy, and to global stability. Still, she claims that the sanctions imposed and assistance given to Ukraine so far are not enough. Quoting Hillary, "We have to double down. There's more that can be done to increase pressure and stress. Additional sanctions, more in the way of lethal aid. And now that there's been a pushback thanks to the brave Ukrainian military offensive action, there is time to resupply the Ukrainians so they can continue to defend their country. The only way we're going to end the bloodshed and terror that we're seeing unleashed in Ukraine and protect Europe and democracy is to do everything we can to impose even greater costs on Putin. There are more banks that can be sanctioned and taken out of the so-called SWIFT relationship. There are increasing calls for doing more on gas and oil. And while Hillary was certainly treading lightly and throwing a few compliments in Biden's general direction, there's no mistaking the politicking occurring here, especially as the former Secretary of State begins to outline the differences between Biden's approach and what hers would have been. Mind you, we have right here on the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal today a call for war crimes court. More nations expel Russian diplomats. Bucha, Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused the Russians of gruesome atrocities in Ukraine and told the UN Security Council Tuesday that those responsible should immediately be brought up on war crimes charges in front of a tribunal like the one established at Nuremberg after World War II. Well, I certainly agree with that part, that those responsible should immediately be brought up on war crimes charges in front of a tribunal like the one established at Nuremberg after World War II. That would be the Azov Battalion and Zelensky himself, have no doubt about it. Moreover, the various forms of collective punishment that are being imposed upon the Russian people by all of these sanctions themselves qualify as war crimes under the Geneva Conventions and international law. Have no doubt about it. You may not publish persons for crimes they did not personally commit. That means all the sanctions, collective punishment on the Russian people, are war crimes and should also be included in a new variation of the Nuremberg Tribunal, which will thereby include the leaders of France, Germany, the United States, most of the European Union nations, and others. What's really going on here, I think it's distracting from another story. Hillary campaign, DNC, are paying Federal Election Commission crimes in an effort to bury the story, coming from Kash Patel, who is the lead investigator for the House Intel Committee's 2018 probe into the FBI's investigation of alleged Trump-Russia collusion. Kash Patel said the fact that the Hillary campaign is paying a penalty to the FEC is an admittance of guilt. Hillary and the DNC are doing so to bury the narrative and prevent more media coverage of these illegal activities, said Patel. Quote, "I think the public sees what this is. It's their way of burying the narrative. Because if they contested what happens, more media coverage, more people start looking into these things. So the Hillary campaign is not contesting it. They're paying the fine. It's basically admitting they did this and they're out is we just don't want a protracted legal deal as if the Hillary campaign and DNC ever shied away from taking something or someone to court. Hillary's campaign and the DNC agreed to pay a combined $113,000 to the FEC according to documents made public on March 30th. After the commission found probable cause that the entities violated federal law by describing payments that ultimately went to Fusion GPS as going toward legal services and consulting. It shows them how wrong they were to violate the law and spend political campaign dollars on a hit job, opposition research pieces for them, candidate Trump, all of which, to remind the audience, was then used intentionally by the FBI, even though they knew it was false, to go to a secret federal court and survey a presidential candidate and later a president of the United States. How bad is this? The FEC, which is responsible for overseeing federal elections, including the presidential, found that Hillary's campaign broke FEC rules about how donations can be used. What we knew when we ran the Russiagate investigation, Chairman Nunes and I exposed that Hillary's campaign paid for the Steele dossier opposition research hit job. We proved that some years ago. What the Coolidge Reagan Foundation did, based on our investigation, said, wait a second, FEC, you as a political campaign cannot spend political dollars launching opposition research, false or otherwise. Hillary is trying to bury it, and that's why I think she's speaking out contrary to Biden to change the narrative to her and Ukraine, where she's doing terrible, terrible things, sad to say, unbelievable. Meanwhile, or virtually at the break, let me add a few words. Patel said, while the fine is important toward holding Hillary's campaign and other key players in the Russia disinformation campaign accountable, the true victory will be indictments made by U.S. Special Counsel John Durham, appointed by the Department of Justice as special counsel to investigate the FBI's handling of Russiagate. His recent findings revealed internet traffic at Trump Tower in the White House was accessed to fabricate ties between Trump and Russia. We'll be right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we continue to get new and more disturbing reports about Pfizer and the vax. It turns out they hired over 600 to process vaccine injury reports, documents reveal. They had to do it because it was so massive, they knew it was going to happen. Pfizer hired about 600 additional full-time employees to process adverse event reports during the 3 months following authorization of its COVID vaccine, with plans to hire 1,800 more by June of 2021, newly released documents revealed. In other words, Pfizer knew perfectly well in advance their vaccine was going to have massive repercussions and adverse effects, where the latest reports show Pfizer had a list of some 1,245 adverse effects that would be caused by their vax. How stunning is this? Here's the story. Pfizer hired about 600 additional full-time employees to process adverse event reports during the 3 months following the emergency use authorization of its COVID vaccine, newly released documents reveal. According to the docs, Pfizer said more are joining each month with an expected total of more than 1,800 additional resources, meaning processors of these reports, by the end of June 2021, anticipating a huge volume. The information was contained in a 10,000-page document cache released April 1st by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, made public as part of a court-ordered disclosure schedule stemming from an expedited Freedom of Information Act request. The latest revelation appeared in a document, Cumulative Analysis of Post-Authorization Adverse Event Report from the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, highlighting such adverse events identified through February 28th of 2021. That's over a year ago. The document was previously released in November of 2021, but was partially redacted. The redaction included the number of employees Pfizer hired and or was planning to hire. The document, according to the unredacted document released on April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke, Pfizer has also taken multiple actions to help alleviate the large increase of adverse event reports, I add, caused by their vaccine. This includes significant technology enhancements and process and workflow solutions as well as increasing the number of data entry and case processing colleagues. To date, Pfizer has onboarded approximately 600 additional full-time employees. More are joining each month, with an expected total of more than 1,800 additional resources by the end of June 2021. The unredacted version also reveals the number of Pfizer BioNTech vaccine doses shipped worldwide between December 2020 and February 2021. Remember, each of this makes huge profit margin here. It's like soft drinks. It might cost a nickel to produce a can of Coke, but they sell it for a buck. These vaccines are similar, except they probably cost less to make and they charge more. It's estimated approximately 126,212,580 doses of BNT162BT, the Pfizer EUA vaccine, were shipped worldwide from the receipt of the first temporary authorization for emergency supply on 1 December 2020 through 28 February of 2021. The number of shipped doses previously was redacted. Remarking on this newly revealed information, Brian Hooker, Chief Science Officer at Children's Health Defense, which is very good, Bobby Kennedy outfit, told The Defender, "The rollout of the Pfizer vax has led to an unprecedented number of adverse effects reported. 158,000 in the first 2 months plus of the rollout means that the rate of report of AU, which is approximately 1 to 1,000, with many of the adverse effects graded as serious, this is based on a denominator of 125,000, 125 million vaccines distributed. It's no wonder an army of 1,800 was needed to process all the information." Hooker noted the total number, 1,205,755 of COVID adverse effects, reported the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System between December 14th of 2020 and March 25th of 2022, now eclipses the total number, 930,950 of adverse events reported in the 32-year history of the database. In other words, from all vaccines combined in the past 32 years, there are more now from the Pfizer vax than we have had in the previous 32 years combined. Dr. Mahava Sethi, a board-certified anesthesiologist and senior science editor for The Defender, previously reported on the same Pfizer document before the unredacted version was released. In that piece, I alluded to Pfizer's admission that they needed more staff to process all the adverse events being reported to them, Sethi said. It seems this document has now been updated. 600 FTEs, full-time employees. I wonder how many extra people the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Protection, has hired, given how they are operating. I would say zero. Pfizer downplayed adverse reactions and requests for the full FDA license. The April verse document release also included a request for priority review. The documentation Pfizer in May of 2021 submitted to the FDA for full licensure of its Comirnaty COVID vaccine. In this document, Pfizer described its vaccine as fulfilling an unmet medical need, claiming, quote, "Mass immunization with a safe and effective vaccine against COVID-19 can dramatically alter the trajectory of the pandemic." How sad, I say as an aside, they did not provide one. According to policy briefing by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation published on 31 March 2021, COVID-19 remains a leading cause of death in the U.S., with up to 100,000 additional deaths projected in the U.S. between March and July of 2021, many of which can likely be prevented with COVID-19 vaccination. Pfizer expressed concerns about lifting COVID-related measures such as lockdowns on the basis that the lifting of such restrictions would counteract the impact of this vaccination effort. The document states, "Vaccination against COVID-19 began with EUA conditional approvals in December of 2020 in a phased rollout defined by national regional guidance. However, there continue to be concerning trends that may counteract the impact of this vaccination effort, including limitations in access to obtain a vaccine due to infrastructure challenges, that is, clinic and appointment capacity and systems, increasing viral transmission fueled by relaxed compliance with mitigations of pandemic, surpassing the one-year mark, mass physical distancing, limited travels, lockdowns, increasing circulation of emergency variants of concern, which are currently driving continued spread of viral infection in Europe, despite extensive mitigation mandates. Pfizer justified its request for full licensure of its COVID vax on the following basis, quote, a vaccine program must be implemented expeditiously, expediently, and rapidly expanded to have a significant impact on the pandemic course. Licensure of BNT162b2 is likely to enhance vaccine uptake by facilitating supply of vaccine from Pfizer, BioNTech, directly to pharmacies and healthcare providers' facilities. The greatest impact of BNT162b2 licensure may be direct supply to healthcare providers who serve vulnerable populations such as elderly patients and those who live in rural and underserved communities, that is, individuals who might be unable to navigate the challenges of securing vaccine access using the systems in place for emergency use authorization. Expansion of vaccine via licensure would ultimately improve prospects of achieving population herd immunity to bring the pandemic under control. The same document glossed over the adverse effects for which the company previously admitted it hired a significant number of new employees to process, claiming, quote, based on phase one data from the FIH study BNT162-01, BNT162B1, and BNT162B2, various vaccines tested during the trial period were safe and well-tolerated in healthy adults 18 to 55 years of age with no unanticipated safety findings. Now, that's enough to make you gag. This is just a brutal lie, absolutely lying their face off. Phase 2, 3 safety data were generally concordant with safety data in phase 1 of the study, both overall and regarding younger and older participants. They knew that was false. Why else would they have had to hire this massive number of new employees to process adverse effect report? This is despite hard figures regarding adverse reactions provided later in the document. Through 28 Feb 2021, data lock point aligned with pharmacovigilance plan. There were a total of 42,086 cases reported, 25,379 medically confirmed, 16,707 non-medically confirmed, containing 158,893 events. Cases were received from 63 countries. Consistent with what was seen in phase 2, 3 of study C4591001, most reported AEs, adverse effects, were in system organ classes with reactogenicity events. General disorders and administration site conditions, 51,335. Nervous system disorders, 25,957. Musculoskeletal and connective tissue disorders, 17,283. Gastrointestinal disorder, 14,096. With those kind of adverse reports right in their application for approval, how could this possibly have been properly approved? The answer, it cannot have been. The Rothschild banking empire, which is funding all of this, had already bought the CDC, bought the FDA, bought the NIH, bought the WHO. It continues. Post-authorization data have also informed the addition of adverse drug reactions related to the experience of reactogenicity to the product labeling. Release of docs still in progress. Many of the documents released as part of the April first tranche appear to include more mundane information and data related to the COVID vaccine trials. These documents include peer-reviewed scientific articles funded by Pfizer-BioNTech titled Phase 1-2 Study of COVID-19 RNA Vaccine, August of 2020, and Safety and Immunogenicity of Two RNA-Based COVID-19 Vaccine Candidates, published in the New England Journal of Medicine in October of 2020. These studies supported further evaluation of this mRNA vaccine candidate, despite the apparent appearance of serious adverse effects in one of the 12 participants receiving 20 megagrams and 100 megagram doses of the BNT162b1 candidate vaccine during the trial phase. This, however, does not appear to have been the final vaccine formulation that ultimately received an emergency use approval. The questionnaire that vaccine trial participants were required to complete, along with a study book displaying the information to be collected from those participating, documents outlining the randomization scheme used for identifying vaccine trial participants and those who received doses of the vaccine or a placebo, documents listing in the anonymized demographic characteristics of vaccine trial participants, that is, leaving out their names and identifying information, an anonymized listing of important protocol deviations, consent forms that vaccine trial participants were asked to complete, as well as other related docs submitted by Pfizer for Institutional Review Board IRB approval, and information regarding institutions participating in the IRB process, clinical study approval forms, audit certificates for vaccine trial locations. The next set of documents, an expected 80,000 pages, is scheduled to be released on or before May 1st. Remember, these are all docs that they wanted to lock up for the next 75 years, which, given that is the expected lifetime of an American citizen, just as in the case of the Warren Commission, they wanted to lock up all their supporting data until everyone who was alive when the event took place was no longer available to observe that it was ridiculously out of sort with, in fact, what the public was being told at the time. Meanwhile, a Florida lawmaker says Disney stepped in quicksand and made a drastic unforced error. The only way they can get to detente on this is Bob Chapek, the president, is going to have to go. As a battle between Florida and Disney escalates following Governor DeSantis signing the Parental Rights in Education Bill into law, one Sunshine State lawmaker says Disney stepped in quicksand and made a drastic unforced error. As the Epoch Times, which, by the way, I highly recommend, a very reliable source, reported April 1st, DeSantis flew to the possibility at a March 31st press conference in Ponte Verde Beach that lawmakers in the Sunshine State might repeal the 1967 Reedy Creek Improvement Act in response to Disney's ongoing opposition to the recently signed Parental Rights in Education Law, dubbed by liberal opponents as the Don't Say Gay Bill. State Representative Spencer Roach, a Republican, revealed through social media that lawmakers had already met twice to discuss the idea, saying, if Disney wants to embrace woke ideology, it seems fitting they should be regulated by Orange County. The announcement came as part of an ongoing feud between Disney and the state of Florida, since the governor signed the bill into law. Previously silent about the bill until he faced backlash from a minority of Disney's LGBT employees, Disney CEO Bob Chapek issued a statement on March 11th, apologizing to them for not being a stronger ally. In a show of action, Chapek also announced Disney would put an immediate stop to all political donations in Florida. In a subsequent demonstration of solidarity, Disney Corporation issued a statement vowing that its new goal was to have, quote, this law be repealed by the legislature or struck down in the courts, and to support organizations working to make that happen. DeSantis quickly reminded Disney that Florida is governed by the interests of the people of the state of Florida. It is not based on the demands of California corporate executives. Recent polling shows the overwhelming majority of Florida's primary voters, including a significant majority of Democrats, strongly support this legislation. Breitbart reported a flood of families are canceling Disney memberships to their amusement parks and the Disney Plus streaming service. A hashtag, Boycott Disney, trended on social media. One of the largest mothers advocacy organizations in the United States, Moms for Liberty, has warned Disney of the pushback it will face if it does not stop interfering with Florida's laws. CEO Bob Chapek needs to be removed, Roach asserted on social media April 3rd. A man obsessed with sexualizing four-year-olds should not run a company that built his brand on preserving the innocence and magic of childhood. I think Disney leadership is well aware they've stepped in quicksand and made a drastic, unforced error, Roach told the Epoch Times. I think they are aware of how badly they've messed up here, and the only way they can get to detente on this is Bob Chapek is going to have to go. I think his days are numbered. He's going to be out as CEO in very short order. Whoever comes in is going to have to publicly acknowledge to some extent Disney is not going to be held hostage by a small number of employees who think they can dictate Disney's political stance. And if some employees don't like that, they are going to have to leave. Roush said he's been to a dozen campaign events over the past few weeks, and it's very clear people are outraged. At this point, Roush believes the only way for Disney to save face is to acknowledge that they didn't read or understand the bill, and they're going to stop meddling in Florida's legislative affairs. He also suggests Disney make a clear statement affirming or reaffirming their state of parental rights in Florida. While he would not provide names, Roush also said he had numerous discussions with Disney lobbyists who've been very vocal in advising corporate leadership that they are very badly mistaken about the political climate in Florida and strongly advise them to stay out of it. But the executives in California did not heed the warning. In the strategic gamble against Florida's parental rights legislation, James Bailey, professor of leadership at George Washington University School of Business, told the Washington Examiner Disney knows what it's doing. So Disney to step up and say, hey, we're a progressive company and you can't tell us what to do is actually helping their reputation, he said. So this is Disney being Disney, adhering to their values, but it's also Disney making money. He argued Disney has accounts, marketing people, focus groups that have been able to suss out that their business model will be better off by pushing back against the legislation. While there is a risk of losing conservative customers, the move could gain new liberal customers. Conversely, Roush contends a business model of gaining some new liberal customers while sacrificing conservatives in a state where registered Republican voters recently over Democrats by 100,000 is not a winning strategy. Perhaps in California, Roush said, a lot of executives of Disney live in a California bubble. He also believes Chapek's apologies and promise to have the law overturned is a political gamble based on ignorance, scripted talking points, and a lot of bad advice. Information Bob Chapek has been receiving is flat-out wrong, he argued, despite the fact that we have a strong Disney presence in Florida. This is a California company with California values. Chapek is a man who was raised in Chicago and lives in California. I don't have any idea how often he actually comes to Florida, but I have to believe he's getting his advice from corporate execs in Florida, in California. I would be absolutely shocked if Chapek actually took the time to read the 7-page bill. I'm sure he didn't. He got his talking points from someone in California. It's a sentiment shared by Disney Biz Journal editor and Disney shareholder Ray Keating. Here's a suggestion for Disney CEO Bob Chapek. Get back to business, that is, excellence in storytelling, and stop wasting shareholders' money on political crusades that have nothing to do with Disney's business. We have the right to have our voices heard on issues, but not on the shareholders' dime. Roush predicts this is the very beginning of a shareholder revolt. Let me say, that we're going to take callers early following Paul's suggestion about a quarter past the hour at 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. So be sure to stand by and call in at the earliest opportunity. Mitchell will field your call and get you on with me here to discuss these matters. I do have a couple of other issues, but we will be taking your calls early. And I again reiterate the number, 540-352-4452. And I commend Paul for the suggestion. I like callers, and we're going to have more time for calls today, a minimum of 45 minutes, possibly even more. So take advantage of the opportunity. 540-4452.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Franklin. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic. Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Ordered Radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and we're going to be taking calls early. Meanwhile, as I mentioned before the break, Great Britain has announced a plan to mint NFTs through the Royal Mint in a bid to lead the war in the increasingly digital economy. And I'm delighted to see we already have four calls lined up. On Monday, the British government announced a plan to move forward with minting its own non-fungible tokens. Those are the NFTs. Oh, not calls yet. Please do call in. We're glad to have you call. If, as it attempts to become a world leader in cryptocurrency space in the global economy, British Finance Minister Rishi Sunak asked the Royal Mint, the entity responsible for manufacturing UK currency, to create an issue of the NFT by the summer. The UK's NFT initiative is the British government's attempt to lead the way in crypto, according to City Minister John Glenn. Glenn stated there are a number of regulatory steps the UK plans to introduce to bring digital assets like NFTs and Bitcoin under scrutiny. These include: regulate stable coins and existing regulations on electronic payments, strategizing on a world-leading regime for regulating trade in other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, asking the British Law Commission to consider the legal status of blockchain-based communities, examine the taxability of decentralized finance loans and interest-gaining services, establish a crypto asset engagement group that will be an official government body and engage with British regulators and cryptocurrency-oriented businesses, explore the possibilities of using blockchain technology in regulating debt instruments. Glenn said, we shouldn't be thinking of regulation as a static, rigid thing. Instead, we should be thinking in terms of regulatory code, like computer code, which we refine and rewrite when we need to. He also said the British government is widening its gaze to look at introducing more diverse regulations in the ever-expanding world of cryptocurrency, including the budgeting Web3 movement, which would establish a more decentralized global internet that is powered and regulated through blockchain technology. No one knows for sure how Web3 is going to look, Glenn said, but there's every chance blockchain is going to be integral in its development. We want this country to be leading from the front, seeking out the greatest economic opportunities. As I understand the way blockchain works, it would enable them to control every action that is taken. You'd have a complete record, which means our reduction to slavery is going to be overwhelmingly enhanced thereby. Similarly, across the pond, the American federal government is continuing to move forward with the development of a central bank digital currency, fully digitalizing the U.S. dollar and preparing to regulate the cryptocurrency holdings of the American public. Interestingly, we haven't been told this is taking place. This is a subtle way, citing what's developing in the UK, then telling what was going on in the US to break it in easy. In an era with historic levels of regulation, the wages and savings of the American people are constantly losing value, and storing money in a savings account with a sub 1% interest rate is becoming less appealing to more and more. So naturally, they're looking for a more secure alternative other than storing cash under the mattress. There are currently trillions of dollars invested in cryptocurrency for these very reasons. The more government tries to regulate, the less appealing they become to potential investors. There's also an interesting story from the Korean Peninsula. South Korean mention of a preemptive strike enrages northern neighbor. The sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un lashed out at South Korea's defense minister Sunday for talking about preemptive strikes on the north during a visit to the South Strategic Missile Command. Kim Yo-jong unleashed a blistering response against Soo Wook, who discussed the South's ability and readiness to hit North Korea with precision strikes, calling Soo a senseless and scum-like person for mentioning preemptive strikes against a nuclear state. Kim warned the South should discipline itself if it wants to stave off disaster. It's widely speculated that her statement may signal a more hardline stance on South Korea and further weapons testing. Experts also believe North Korea may soon conduct another ICBM test, launch a satellite-carrying rocket, or even test a nuclear device. Pak Jong-chon of the North Korea Workers' Party Central Committee declared that talk of preemptive strikes may lead to dangerous conflict and a full-blown war. North Korea recently restarted missile testing, including a massive intercontinental ballistic missile that surprised international observers and alarmed both Japan and the South. It was less than 4 years ago when relations between the two sides appeared to be warming, but that's becoming more and more of a memory every day. South Korea President Moon Jae-in's single five-year term ends next month, and the liberal leader will be replaced by conservative Yoon Suk-yeol. During his campaign, Yoon drew criticism for openly discussing a preemptive strike strategy if the North were thought to be about to launch. By the way, that's perfectly permissible under international law. If you're facing an imminent strike, you're allowed to retaliate preemptively. The U.S. has repeatedly urged Kim Jong-un to return to nuclear talks without preconditions, but Kim insists on the U.S. changing its hostility toward his country. Instead, Kim plans to expand the North's nuclear arsenal as a deterrent for foreign aggression. It's no secret that both South Korea and the U.S. have discussed preemptive strikes against Kim Jong-un in North Korea and contingency plans when facing a nuclear-capable belligerent are both intelligent and necessary. Making public statements about such contingencies, statements that are sure to inflame already unstable leaders who have nuclear buttons, perhaps not so much. As I previously reported but reaffirm here, Kim Jong-un, who met with President Trump right there on the demilitarized zone, appears to have been replaced by a body double. It is not the same guy. Mark my words. Serious. Where all this leads is anybody's guess, but it's not good. I'm very pleased that we have a call-in already from my dear friend Scorpio. Scorpio, I'm glad to have you here. Join the conversation.
Oh, Jim, hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry I couldn't be on the show with you directly today, but I'm on the road heading towards the great state of Alabama, and I've been listening to the show. It's really good. You know, Jim, it's interesting about this Kim Jong-il being replaced by a body double. You know, I think there's a lot of that going on. You know, you've pointed out numerous times that Groper Joe, there's multiple Groper Joes, there's multiple Hillary Clintons. And it really does seem like these politicians that we see that are put on the stage for the public to look at really are just puppets.
Yeah, literal sock puppets, Scorpio. I think that's exactly right. This is not the real Joe Biden. He's got a different shape and size of skull. That's not a feature you can change. That's a permanent feature of your life for duration. He's got different handwriting, completely different, identified by a pharmacist used to comparing signatures to make sure drugs weren't being obtained illegally. He has different ears. The real Joe's ears curl up, just like his son Hunter, but this guy's ear attaches downward. There's no curling up. That's something you can see on many photographs. I've done a lot of reports about this on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Go there and check out Joe Biden versus actor Biden or the equivalent. Just do a search and you'll find a lot about it. Scorpio, tell us more.
Well, Jim, what I think we see unfolding before us is we're going to see this one great distraction or emergency after another as they unveil this plan, which revolves around a digital currency, because once they've got that in place, it really is game over. You're not going to have any freedom left whatsoever. And I do think that one of the contingencies, I want to see if you agree with this, one of the contingencies really does seem to be a World War III kind of scenario, and the fact that they've replaced Kim Jong-il with some kind of actor could be part of opening this war up onto an Eastern front.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, his sister, who could blow the whistle, obviously she knows this is not her brother, seems to be taking an increasingly large role of leadership in North Korea, even though she's unelected to any office. This seems to be a rather striking development. But I do think it's very unwise for South Korean leaders at any level to be talking about preemptive strikes, even though, as I observe, it is legally permissible under international law. It is the case that a nation under international law is entitled to a preemptive strike if they confront an imminent attack upon their nation. Otherwise, you have to secure permission from the UN Security Council before you can launch an attack on any other nation, which, of course, the United States does not do. How many times have we attacked, whether it's Syria, Iraq, Libya? I mean, it's just outrageous using NATO forces, the United States being the greatest war criminal, the greatest rogue state in the world, its closest competitor being Israel, our gallant ally in the Middle East. Scorpio.
Well, it's hard to take hearing Groper Joe and the chorus of so-called Western leaders talking about how Vladimir Putin's a war criminal. It really is hypocrisy on parade. And, what I see from the Zelensky character is everything he's doing is trying to expand the war to a greater, area, constantly asking for a no-fly zone, which would put NATO and or America, really one and the same, into direct conflict with Russia. And then this idea of, I guess Germany's already providing armored vehicles and we're just seem to be, arming and escalating things. And when you start calling the leader of Russia a war criminal, it doesn't exactly leave a lot of room for negotiations. It seems to me the West is doing all it can to expand this conflict. I wanted to see what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, I think you're 100% correct. The West seems to be eager for a war that it is not prepared to fight, while the Russians are very reluctant for a war that they are fully prepared to fight. And mind you, as I've emphasized many times, Russia's military equipment and technology is overwhelmingly superior to that of the United States and NATO. They have the best anti-missile systems in the world. They have the best anti-ship missile systems in the world. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes in the world. They are virtually unstoppable. We know the Russian subs off the East Coast. One scenario has launching a dirty bomb over the United States that would wipe out our financial sector from Massachusetts through Washington, D.C., including all of New York City. That would make that region uninhabitable for hundreds of years. get that hundreds of years. The United States would grind to a halt. That's just one weapon. Well, Russia has overwhelmingly more, greater capacity, far better. If we have a war with Russia, we aren't going to like it. Scorpio, please stay on the line while I bring in Paul, who had the suggestion of taking calls earlier. Paul, I'm glad to see you here. Join in the conversation.
Yeah, best suggestion ever, huh? Hey, Scorpio, what's going on? Are you in an automobile, or did you rent an RV or something?
I'm on the road heading towards Alabama, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. My mom was born and raised in the great state of Alabama just for the heck of it.
Well, that's very damn interesting. Go ahead, Paul. Give us your thoughts about all of the above.
Well, it occurs to me that you used the word on Scorpio's show a few weeks ago, and I'm going to try to get the pronunciation right. I want to hear you pronounce it again. Simulacrum. Am I saying that right, Tim?
Yeah, simulacrum. A simulacrum is something that looks like the real thing but is not.
Right. So, you know, most of us know what the word means. I generally know what most words mean by context, even though you're not going to be using them that often. But I just looked this up again just for the heck of it. And it's an image or representation or imitation of a person or thing. The word was first recorded in the English language in the late 16th century. So what I started to say, it occurs to me that mostly everything that we're looking at today is a simulacrum, right? I mean, the presidency itself, okay? Most of the, the justice system, the financial system, you know, everything that, you know, we can say today that passes for their presentation of reality is in reality not so. And I think this war is a similar situation. And it also, you know, I have the thought that this is the juice. By the way, let me be the first to use the word Jew in this particular episode. It's a perfect opportunity for them to smear everybody they love to smear, right? I mean, they like to smear the Russians. They like to smear the Germans. They like to smear white people in general. They're not getting smeared in this campaign, even though people like us talk about what's going on over there. And they get to make money. They get to keep us afraid of things. It's one of these things where you just ask yourself how much is real and how much is not. And, of course, they're faking, in my opinion, they're faking a lot of these atrocities just like they always do. So that's just a quick quick thought on the thing. I'm just going to, for the fun of it, I rarely read the paper, but my neighbor has a tendency, one of my neighbors, to leave the paper out until sometimes early afternoon before she comes out and gets it. So I borrowed it, and I'm going to put it back in the driveway later. But it occurred to me when I started reading these letters to the editor, which I rarely do, that I wouldn't be surprised if these are some bots. That's a good term, right? Check this one letter out. It's brief enough. I'm going to read it, right? Because they hit every topic. They hit the drought. They hit Gavin Newsom. They hit dairy and beef production in the state. It's like all these things, and they say the exact same thing that our masters want us to believe. So this is a beautiful one on here. I'm sure you'll like hearing it. Letter ignores Biden's achievements and courage. I disagree with Bill Graham's contention. This is some guy that wrote a previous letter, that President Joe Biden is tactless and foolish. And it says here, what Biden said about Vladimir Putin needing to be removed from power is spot on. Donald Trump's disdain for NATO and his plan to pull the United States out of NATO, had he been reelected, would have significantly weakened the alliance, resulting in Putin invading Ukraine even earlier than he did. Putin underestimated the ability of Biden to solidify NATO and respond quickly. Biden demonstrated statesmanship and diplomatic skills that Trump could never achieve. Biden is the right president at the right time. Finally, Biden suffers from stuttering. Rather than ridicule the president for his stutter, Graham should have applauded Biden's courage to speak publicly, knowing there will be those who will mock him for his speech. Gregory Carlstead, San Jose. I kind of believe this guy's fake. I could read a couple more letters, and if we got time in the show, I might, but how do you like that letter?
Paul, the CIA has, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands writing phony letters to the editor. This is a standard technique. And that letter is such bullshit. I mean, no one who understands what's going on in the world could possibly endorse it. The idea that this guy is right president for the right time is precisely the opposite. Scorpio, have you heard such an absurdity of late in your life?
Well, no, that was pathetic. I guess the bottom line of that letter is don't criticize Groper Joe. He's a wonderful person and just, you know, he's doing great things. But, you know, it falls on so many different levels. Joe Biden has not solidified NATO. I think there's actually a huge internal rebellion going on because exactly how is Germany going to function? How is Europe going to function without Russian gas? I mean, it's all great to get on the stage and say, hey, we don't like the Russians. Putin's a bad guy. But the bottom line is if they don't have that gas, they're going to have real trouble keeping their economies going. But maybe that's the plan, is to crash the economies and use the war as an excuse. So it's hard to know.
I think that's highly probable, Scorpio. Let me mention, Mitchell added in the Skype here that all letters are edited. I long since learned that the CIA has a representative in every newsroom and TV studio in the entire nation. One of the positions they most like to occupy is being the editorial page or opinion page editor. When I was in Duluth, among my last formal presentations was in November of 2005 when I gave a three-parter. I gave an hour on JFK. I gave an hour on 9/11. I gave an hour on Paul Wellstone. He was there. Now, you can imagine with an hour on each how many arguments I gave. There must have been dozens. I mean, it was just teeming with arguments and evidence of skullduggery, fabrication, conspiracy, cover-up, massive. After the show, when we spoke, he didn't find one thing he found worthy of consideration, which told me, confirmed what I suspected, namely he was another one of these planted editorial sifters and editors who'd make sure that nothing serious and true would get into the paper there in Duluth. Here in Madison, Wisconsin, I've had a similar experience with a Wisconsin State Journal, which is now just filled with pages and pages of full-page color ads for local companies that are going under because of the pandemic, the lockdowns, and all the ramifications that are in it. It's really barely worth reading, except I need to keep tabs on how they're presenting, just as I said, the call for war crimes court, which displays massive ignorance and doesn't acknowledge that what Joe Biden and the West has been doing in sanctioning Russia is collective punishment, which is a war crime under the Geneva Conventions and international law. Paul, your thoughts?
Well, since a lot of your shows consist of you reading and commenting on articles, let's do one little short one from the Alta Literatures of the editor. This is a funny one. Story causes unnecessary worry over boosters. The headline, Worry Rises Over Too Many Boosters, page A1, April 3rd, is misleading and dangerous. With Omicron 2 an imminent threat, people should be encouraged to get a booster or a second booster if recommended. However, the fact that boosters have been shown to greatly increase protection against Omicron is not made clear in this headline or article. Judy Zellers. So it just goes on and on.
It didn't mention she's a PR for Pfizer, Paul. I mean, they're doing the same thing, abusing the letters with a complicity of the editorial boards and the opinion page editors of these newspapers. It's embarrassing and insulting. But if you're naive, you might actually believe someone holds those feelings when they're unscientific, unfounded. The best advice is to stay the hell away from any of the facts because they're going to do you permanent damage, if not bring about your death.
Right. That was left unsaid. But yeah, we all know that. I just, again, I'm just trying to throw in the absurdity. It's really, to use a term so many people use, it's clown world stuff. On the next page, it has other views. Now, these are articles written in editorial form and published in the paper. I'm not going to read from any of them, but just the headlines and comment upon them is enough. Here's one. The title of it,
pandemic has supercharged state's crisis of gun violence. This is by some woman named Anita Chabria, who's supposed to be a Los Angeles Times syndicated columnist. And it's a kind of a weird, meandering way to somehow link the pandemic with people shooting each other, you know. And, you know, of course, it's going on to say that nobody needs, you know, to fire 600 rounds in a minute. And, of course, you know, touches upon the so-called assault weapons. And then this device, apparently there's a new hunk of metal out there that can take a handgun and make it into an automatic. And this is a new problem. You know, it's not blacks, okay, shooting each other in the ghetto, what they've always done. No, I read an article recently from some site talking about Minnesota. I think it was Minneapolis now has this rise in gun violence. And the whole article focused on this device, basically a hunk of metal, to make handguns, automatic. And this was the problem. This device, which I forget the name of it, not black criminality, but no, a piece of metal. That's the problem, Jim.
Well, you make a good point, Paul, because the Democrats seem to think everyone has an equal propensity for crime, and therefore that the fact that the overwhelming majority of those incarcerated happen to be black is supposed to be a sign of bias on the part of the judicial community and the police force. Nothing could be further from the truth. The overwhelming majority of crimes are committed by blacks in virtually every single category. The only one in which there's a variation is American Indians, because of their genetic intolerance to alcohol, commit more crimes in alcohol-related categories. We'll be right back with Paul and Scorpio after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm so glad to have Scorpio available while he's making his transit to Alabama. Scorpio, please give us further thoughts you have on the current situation in the world.
Well, Jim, you know I can't stay away from an opportunity to talk with Jim Fetzer. So here I am. But, Paul brought up an interesting point at the beginning, which is sort of this simulation and we have a simulation of democracy, and the letters to the editor are sort of a example of that. And yeah, I think you made a good point, Jim, that there's definitely letters being written in Langley and being disseminated across the country as James Smith or whoever, you know, they want to say wrote the letter. And, the idea that someone wrote a letter, because of the Omicron variant, you need to make sure to take your booster. The idea that that's a real person is pretty unlikely. And what I see is sort of this corporate merger between government, intelligence agencies, and the largest corporations. They're all working together in lockstep to bring about a new system that most people really don't even understand what's going on, just like they don't understand that there's actually a war being waged against them right now.
Yes, yes. They don't understand and they won't like it. It's going to hit them like a ton of bricks. Paul, further thoughts of yours?
Yeah, you know, Jim, I like to gamble a little bit, and we've got a couple of bets going. And I am going to bet here that there's not one of these letters is real. There's actually six letters to the editor. One of them is, three or four paragraphs. All the rest are, you know, maybe two paragraphs, very brief. And the names, some of the names just don't seem right. And like I said, it's a perfect, what do you call, a talking point. So here's another one regarding the water shortage, which is just absolutely lovely. You'll just love it. So here's the title of the letter. Instead of tiered pricing, put a hard cap on water. I believe Dinesh Desai's letter from April 1st is missing the point of our water problem. There is a water shortage. So notice the proclamation at the top of the paragraph. There is a water shortage. Next thing. Having more tiers with higher rates does nothing to save water. Those who can afford the higher rates will just pay with no thoughts about conserving. If we're really serious about saving water, tell the water customers, including golf courses, that they have X amount of water per month. They can use it however they see fit, but once they reach their limit, the meter will be turned off or locked until next month. Then we'll see some conservation. There will be an expense to converting the meters, but I'm sure the water companies would cover this cost in order to save this precious resource. George Brown, San Jose. Now, who would write that kind of a letter? But there it is. And I just.
Yeah. It's supposed to be reassuring. There's a threat coming your way, but they're supposed to be reassuring you that it's not going to be significant. So don't worry, be happy. More, Paul, more. Scorpio, we seem to have lost Paul. Go ahead.
Well, I'm here. Go ahead, Paul. I'll jump in after you. Go ahead.
Well, I just was at a stopping point where I'll tend to, you know, do something and pause and wait for you guys. But, yeah, the only other thing worth commenting on is also on this page where it has other views. And, again, this is the first time I've done this because I don't normally read the paper, and it really is, it's just laughable beyond belief.
So here's a big editorial write-up by supposedly this guy, Timothy O'Brien, a Bloomberg columnist. And Elon Musk's Twitter investment may harm the future of free speech. And so this guy goes and attempts to make the point in a fairly lengthy article that it's a foreboding that Elon Musk would have this huge investment in Twitter and that somehow now it's going to curtail free speech more than ever. It's just hysterical.
Yes, yes, yes. Free speech more than ever, yes.
Yeah, it's just,
and they're already doing such a massive job of it. Scorpio.
Well, I think we're going to see this whole environmental thing come to the forefront more and more. I think they have different contingency plans to bring about this, whatever you want to call it, New World Order, Great Reset. Environmentalism will be one. And you can see, well, we don't have a choice. No, there's not enough water. We're going to have to turn your meter off. But, you know, the reality is most of the water in California ends up getting dumped right into the ocean instead of being captured. So, you know, that alone should tell people something, that they want these problems. They want the appearance of, hey, we're running out of resources. We're going to have to do something. We don't have any choice. We're going to take away all your rights and lock you down and turn your water meter off, And the idea that someone sat there and wrote that, yeah, I want my water meter turned off. Yeah, that'll be great.
And there was a great article just the other day, too, I read online about this ongoing policy of supposing all blamed on Gavin Newsom, but, of course, he's just, you know, the front man or the fall guy. We know the way things really work. And, this policy of basically emptying the reservoirs because of the some fish, you know, like the salmon, for example. We got to have the fall salmon run. That's their excuse. And the article pointed out that 2 years ago we had 200% rainfall in an average winter. So, you know, this is not really an issue, but at the same time they're making it an issue as they love to do. This other letter to the editor, supposedly beef and dairy production is too costly for the state. And, this person that supposedly writes this letter says, it's time for Californians to talk about the cow in the room. You can't make this up. But there
we have another caller from the 231 area code. 231, give us your name and your state and join the conversation.
Hi, Dr. Jim. This is Ken from Michigan.
Yeah, glad to have you back. Yeah, go ahead.
The Grand Rapids Press here, when you leaf through that, it's total mass media, you know, poor Ukraine, Putin bad, Orange Man bad, you know, everything is just yellow journalism, I guess is what they call it, very left-leaning, global domination, exactly the way the globalists want the script written. And
yeah.
As far as
yeah.
Simulacrium goes, I first heard that term in the movie Blade Runner. Daryl Hannah plays a robot that tries to be human, and they capture them, and they question them to see if they are a robot, and they have to terminate them. I think it was a book by Philip K. Dick where machines take over the world, and they create these androids in other planets or galaxies. And wouldn't it have been nice if JFK or RFK had a body double at that key time when they were assassinated?
Yes, yes, yes. To my astonishment, some people still believe that the event was faked or staged, which is just unbelievable given everything we know. By the way, issues related to AI and all that are going to be a part of the course I'm offering on critical thinking and scientific reasoning, where it begins tonight. And I introduce by explaining the nature of thought and the difference between human beings as thinking things and inanimate machines, which are not. I think there's going to be tremendous scope here, even broader than conspiracy theories per se. Understanding the nature of mind, the nature of consciousness, how human beings differ from these digital machines. I just mentioned that because the class begins tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time. And you can check it out by going to mixinstream.com/critical-thinking.html or go to my blog and check out one or another. A couple of the more recent blogs are related to the course, and you can find out more about it. I mentioned I'm very, very excited, actually, about being back in the classroom. It's 1 hour a week for 15 weeks. And if you're unable to watch it live, you can get a ticket. All the class sessions will be live streamed, but then they're going to be immediately archived and linked to the playlist. So you can purchase a ticket in advance and be sent a password to use. You can also buy a ticket at any time for unlimited access until September 6th of 2022, at which time the tickets will expire. But you can go back and watch the classes over and over again. Again, beginning tonight at 8 p.m. And Mitchell asked about, Mitchell asked about the Turing test, which is how to, you know, supposed to be a test to determine whether an inanimate machine is a thinking thing, but it's seriously flawed. I have several books that give critiques of the Turing test and explain all these matters, some of which are actually available in used copies online. The one I'd recommend especially is called Philosophy and Cognitive Science, Second Edition. Philosophy and Cognitive Science, Second Edition. It was written specifically as an introductory book. Go online and see if you can pick up a used copy. The second edition has a chapter not found in the first, so I encourage the second edition, and they should be pretty inexpensive. You're going to really learn a lot. Scorpio, I'm so glad we have you here today. Give us more of your thoughts as you're on the road.
Well, you know, I think this idea, I don't think there's such any such thing as true AI. I think you've got a computer where you program a bunch of algorithms in it, and they can sort through data really fast and make decisions based on the data, but that's not consciousness. It's not a sentient being. It never will be, but these globalists, these psychopaths that run the show right now want to believe that they can actually create something that is alive, but they'll never be able to do that, but they can have, again, a simulation of it, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Simulations. You can make these machines more and more complex, robot-like machines that more and more simulate human behavior, but you can never close the gap between being a thinking thing and an inanimate machine. What you're sketching is correct, and I've done a huge amount of research in this very area. I was actually in a program for PhDs in philosophy and linguistics at Wright State University to earn an MS degree in artificial intelligence and computer science. I did not earn the degree, but the very first article I wrote for a programming language course entitled Program Verification, the very idea, ignited a sensation in the computer science community, a debate whose consequences have endured even to this day, as a consequence of which I was invited to contribute articles to encyclopedias of computer science and information technology. So that's all something that's going to be a fringe or unexpected benefit of the course that I'm offering. You're going to learn about a whole lot about a whole lot of issues you never anticipated. It's going to be very consciousness expanding, even while explaining the nature of consciousness itself and why, as you imply, my friend, machines don't possess it. Paul, your thoughts.
Okay, so just for the fun of it, listen to this gem excerpt that I just gleaned from this other article. Of course, the title of this one is Outbreak Extremely Grim as Shanghai Extends Lockdown. So, while China's vaccination rate hovers around 90%, which, of course, is a total lie, its domestically produced inactivated virus vaccines are seen as weaker than the mRNA vaccines, such as those produced by Pfizer and BioNTech and Moderna. And then it goes on to say, check again, this little bit of beautiful brainwashing programming they put in here.
It says here, vaccination rates among the elderly are also much lower than the population at large, with only around half of those over 80 fully vaccinated. And then they go on to say that, meanwhile, complaints have arisen over difficulties obtaining food and daily necessities. It's like they just, within a couple of paragraphs, they get in there the idea that older people need more vaccines, that Pfizer and Moderna are the better vaccines, and that there's difficulties in obtaining food and daily necessities. It's like all this stuff just gets mushed up in your mind. None of it really means anything to me when I read it. But there it is right in the context of this article, outbreaks. Outbreak is extremely grim as Shanghai extends lockdown. So, and of course, the article is accompanied by a picture of all these health workers garbed up with face shields and they're swabbing people, you know, testing them. So, again, you know, it's not as strong in this country as it once was, but they're not going to let this go totally, and they may indeed try to bring it back with this, with the BA.2 variant and all this other nonsense. So,
here's one you're going to love, Paul. April 5th, 2022, by Investment Watch blog. Barrington High School, Rhode Island, is removing honors classes to be more equitable. Honors classes are racist now. I mean, we're dumbing down the population. We're going to the lowest common denominator. We're going to make everyone stupid. It's by design. This is just appalling. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, basically, you know, I'm not knocking black folks, but, you know, look how they're promoting black people. When you watch television, you'd think that America is majority black on the commercials. It's really incredible. And what they want to do is stamp out excellence, stamp out anyone that stands out as exceptional. And that's extremely dangerous, because what you're doing is, obviously, what they're doing is they're creating a slave society. And it's amazing. You know, I turned the television on last night in the hotel, and Jimmy Kimmel comes on. He's completely without talent. But what you see is, and all these shows are completely masked while the entertainers are not. And you're really just the creation of a slave mentality, slave society.
And that's very symbolic, I thought.
You know, there's another quick thing worth pointing out. You know, it's kind of related to what was just said, is this so-called slap, which I don't buy is totally real, but it just point out what somebody pointed out online, and what I would totally agree with, is it's just more promotion of the niggerization of society, a term which I first encountered back in the 90s, where you have this guy, a 53-year-old grown man, Will Smith, not only walking up on stage and slapping somebody else, but then yelling out in his ghetto gibberish about, keep my wife's name out of your mouth. Well, you know, upon further reflection, I looked at this thing. Okay, he apparently made this movie, and it was nominated and won an Oscar. King Richard, I think, was the title of it. And I read what it was about. Okay, it was about Richard Williams, okay, the supposed father of Venus and Serena Williams, two men playing women's tennis, a complete and total fraud, and millions upon millions of dollars were fraudulently made. And I just recently came across this article on Yahoo, as I go through Yahoo to get to my mail, and it's talking about Serena Williams, and she's, oh, so happy to be a mother, and she talked about how she loved being pregnant, and she loved childbirth, and I'm just laughing, going, well, unless they gave her a womb and ovaries, then this whole thing is a fraud, too. So, again, it's a simulacrum of reality, and this is exactly what the Jews love for us, to be looking at blacks and looking at false, fraudulent, phony, criminal nonsense all the time. And, you know, we got to start thinking about what we're going to do about it instead of just knowing about it and reporting on it, because I'm one of
those. A piece about what appears to be the staged event is preceded by a quote from P.T. Barnum of Barnum Bailey Circus. He said, without promotion, something terrible happens. Nothing. With the Academy Awards, they got any attention whatsoever, but for the slap. Meanwhile, we have area code 641 joining us. 641, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 641. Are you there? Scorpio, back to you.
Well, yeah, you know, another good point about this completely phony slap in the face during the Oscars. Part of it was nobody was watching. Nobody gives a shit about the Oscars anymore, and now everyone's talking about it. So, again, this is sort of what I see on the news and on the media is there's sort of a approved list of things to be talking about. And there's one list for the conservatives and a different list for the liberals. And basically, as I drive across the country, I just see everyone talking about the same shit. And what a meaningless event. You know, it was obviously a fake slap, the way the camera was positioned, just like they do in the movies. It's just pathetic, absolutely pathetic.
And then he used the F-bomb a couple of times in denouncing Chris Rock, which was highly inappropriate. I mean, this is for families, the Oscars. Meanwhile, 641 is back. 641, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was on or not. Nobody answered the phone. Okay.
That's because you were standing by for me to call upon you, okay? Go ahead and give us your thoughts.
Okay. My thoughts are, this is Ed Fife. This is the guy you called the other day, and you asked me to call in. And so I'm not going to be talking about the subject that you guys are talking on right now, but the issue that is the problem in this country was created long, long, long time ago. And what they did to us was the legal beagles, the legal profession, learned how through court cases that I've read some of the court cases where they talk the opposite side of the coin. And what they did was they used those court cases to figure out the scheme which they pulled on the country way a long time ago. And this was back during this, right after the Civil War was when it started. Of course, the system.
I know you have quite a lot to say about this subject, and unfortunately, we have only a couple of minutes left. So, I would encourage you to call back. You know, when we can talk about it more. If you'd called earlier today, that would have been good. But this late, just tied up with a single sentence. You want to get across?
Okay, okay. I can tie it up in one sentence. Or a couple of sentences anyway. When somebody wants something to happen to you, they don't do it themselves. They set a trap for you to do it to yourself. And that is the summation of what happened.
Okay, well, be specific. Are you talking about the 13th Amendment? Are you talking about people declaring themselves U.S. citizens? Get specific on this. I think we're all...
No. Specifically, it has to do with our citizenship, yes, and also our heritage. See, neither one of those do they talk about. They don't talk about that anymore.
I'll tell you what, I want you to call back again when we have more time to address your issues. Meanwhile, Paul Scorpio, final thoughts today, Paul.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would like to know more about this particularly. You know, I made an assumption of what he was referring to, and I'm sure I'm partially right. But, yeah, this topic is indeed correct because they have us basically declaring our status on a lot of documents, and then they take advantage of us if we ever end up in court. Again, it's just part and parcel of the construct under which we're forced to live and under which we believe we live. But again, it just all comes down to personal courage. We don't have to participate. Nobody forced a gun to anybody's head to make them take a vaccine or to wear a mask or do anything else, and I just wish that more people had courage and this stuff would be over. That's my final thought. Thanks.
If our 231 caller is still here, he's welcome to throw in a few final words, too.
Yeah,
are you here?
Yes, the straw man argument, that's kind of like the simulation world that dominates, putting everybody into a subhuman condition, as they term the population as sheeple. And
yeah.
the name of that book was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah, good. Here's another story. It's when teen tennis player slaps opponent's face after losing match, drawing Will Smith, Chris Rock comparison. Scorpio, your final thoughts.
Well, Jim, my final thoughts are in the war of Northern aggression, also known as the Civil War, the South was right, and it had nothing to do with slavery. It was about people that didn't want to live under the thumb of the federal government, and here we are again. So, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on my way to Alabama.
Well, we wish you a great trip to Alabama, Scorpio. I'm simply delighted you were able to call in today. That was an unexpected treat. And the other callers, I'm delighted you called in as well. I'm in.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.